He did, but he also has quite a few chambers. And the older he got, the more he tried to say it was the most thrifty means and have only one instrument play at a time instead of the full. Even when he orchestrated for full orchestra, he was talking about this and pointing it out that he was striving for this.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that orchestration was born with him and that it was easy for him, one should still not imagine that it was easy, because I noticed I would sometimes come into the room where he was orchestrating, and I would notice that his forehead was swollen. But it was actually, you know, there were, over his brows were like big bumps. And that was from the effort, from the mental effort of the orchestration.
So he had a gift for it, but it still was not an easy task. And there are two other movements that strike me because they illustrate things we've talked about already, and one can see them now in concrete illustration. The idea of the Festmusik, for example, is a marvelous bit of ceremonial music. And this, you've talked about the Prater before, and this must still have been with him then.
I think so. It appears in many of his pieces, and this kind of grand gesture that depicting a king. So, but it is the love for the stage, I think, that inspired that he had that.
And then, too, we've established a picture of Eric as the romantic figure, the person always in love but rarely successful in love. And might this have influenced the lushness and exoticism with which he wrote his love dance in this piece? Certainly a marvelous example of sensuous, rich orchestration.
Yeah, I must say that he was an extremely sensuous person. And of course his loves were completely without luck. And he was a person to whom sex was very necessary, and I must I thank my stars that he never became a victim of some dread disease, because he certainly had all the opportunities and took them to get it. He was running wild. He was a rather wild person. And he had no restraints or inhibitions. So when he thought he needed something, that had to be so. And I think it was partly probably due to that he was so unlucky in his real loves, because the young girls to whom he addressed all these feelings were not ready for this kind of thing, and so he had to go to the kind of worst of paid thing, because he was very poor. And knowing, as I now do, that Schubert and Schumann and Beethoven all were victims of these dread diseases, because they probably had similar temperaments, I'm very happy that he was spared this one thing. So, love music came natural to him.
In the year 1930, which I think we'll use as the terminal year in this first period, as Eisel is becoming recognized by the Viennese public, two compositions certainly should be discussed. The first is a set of pieces called Three African Choruses. It certainly came as a surprise to me to find an Austrian composer in 1930 setting Black American poetry to music. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about the impact of this poetry as it appeared translated in a volume called Afrika Singt.
I think this is very fine poetry, and Eric always reacted immediately when poems were good. He had a natural feeling, a natural sense for it. It isn't necessary for a musician to have that, but he seemed to have had it in a great deal, though he was not a literary person. Now,